broadcasting from the garden in a nice, warm but cool summer evening. This is the Bugcast episode 21. Yes. Hi, good evening. It is Sunday the 27th of July. It's half past one. No, it's not. It's half past nine in the evening. And you're listening to the Bugcast episode 22. As I suggested at the beginning of the show, we are outside. It's an absolutely gorgeous evening, nice and cool. Little bit of cloud coverage, a bit of wind as you can hear. I'm also keeping it down a bit because I've got people in neighbouring gardens and don't want them to be suspicious by me talking into a laptop. Anyway, yes, that song at the beginning of the show was Robin Tim and Shorter Fatter. Unfortunately, where I am, for some unknown reason, because we've just got a new wireless router, I don't have wireless access in the garden, which is a little short of annoying. So I'm going to try and hope that all the Google Mail stuff that I've got in terms of emails and comments, I'm still able to have access to. Intros to the show. I introduced this show, obviously. I don't have any future intros at this stage, so if you want to submit an introduction for episode 23 onwards, then I'll give you the details at the end of the show where to send your files to. Right, let's see if this is going to work for me. You may remember on a previous show, I read a news article about the inhabitants of the island of Lesbos in the Greek islands, in an attempt to try and ban the use of the word lesbian to describe gay women, as the inhabitants of Lesbos can refer to themselves as lesbians. Well, on Tuesday, it was announced that the locals have lost their appeal to ban the use of the word to refer to gay women. I think, as I said at the time, you're talking about, you know, a very small, almost a minority group of people, against every single gay female in the world, and I'm pretty sure I said at the time it was never going to happen. So it's interesting to see that it hasn't. Yeah, just thought I'd update on that one. Phil at work sent me through a news article entitled "Boros Loses Out in UEFA Burger Battle." And in a nutshell, because I don't have everything in front of me about it, so I'm going to try and recall as much as I can from memory. I'll also put a link in the show notes. What it basically relates to is the town of Boras in Sweden was going to play host to the under-21 European Football Championships in 2009. And because one of the biggest sponsors of UEFA is McDonald's, there's no McDonald's in this town, but there is a fast food restaurant chain called Max. And UEFA demanded that Max close during the time that the UEFA championship was going to be in the town of Boras. Now, obviously, Max turned around and said, "Well, no, we're not particularly happy with that, but we'll offer you a compromise." And that compromise was, sorry about the wind, folks. The compromise was that they would close for a period of time, either side of and including the time when matches would be played. Now, UEFA turned around and said, "No, that's not good enough." So the burger chain Max decided to put the vote out to the public. Now, I'm not sure of the scope of this vote, whether it just included local residents, just Sweden, or whether it was in the whole world. But the question was, should we close? And 93% of the... Oh, sorry, no, I apologise, it was a national newspaper. 22,000 readers of a national newspaper, 93% of them said they should stay open. So, that's what they've decided to do. Max went back to UEFA and said, "Sorry, we've spoken to the public, this is what we're going to do, we're not going to close for you." So UEFA have then turned around and said, "Fine, we'll take the championship somewhere else." Petty or what? Absolutely pathetic. You're almost holding... You're holding a town to ransom over the whim of a large corporate sponsor. Now, the cynic in me is thinking, whoops, another Microsoft. That's going to raise some comments if nothing else does. Absolutely pathetic on the side of UEFA to demand that a business that operates in a local country, locally in a country, should close down just for their benefit. I think absolutely stupid that they should even expect that they would willingly do so. And I think it's fantastic on the part of this local food chain that they've turned around and said, "Look, we're not going to yield to your demands." And I think it's wonderful. I think we'll make that today's debate. Do you think that the fast food chain was correct in refusing to close under UEFA's demand? There you go, that'll be our debate question for the week. Okay, I'm moving on quickly, purely because I've got an absolute bucket load, a wheelbarrow load of comments to go through. So we'll quickly shoot on to our next song, which is by Justina, and the track is called "Am I the Only One?"
Every single day, I step into the crowd, maybe someone imagine faces, voices loud, and I wonder why no one hears me. I'm like the last kid standing when everybody else already has their team. Am I the only one that they don't see? Am I the only one to yell when inside I want to scream? Am I the only one to hate me? All I ever give is sympathy to the ones who need me. Now everyone's hiding and I'm left in the sea. Cause even when the sun is out and the day is shining, all I ever see is a rain. Am I the only one that they don't see? Am I the only one to yell when inside I want to scream?
Justina and I Am the Only One. Just a reminder that all the songs this week are taken from the Podsafe Music Network, which you can find at music.podshow.com. Following on from last week's show, I've had a lot of differing comments about the content and the format of the show. In some respects, some people have said that they liked it. It was great. The music content was fabulous. Other people have said prefer the format of your normal shows. I've had a kind of a guild battle since I released the show because of the non-Podsafe music that I played, and bearing in mind that Podsafe artists are listening to my show, if I do any more non-Podsafe shows, then there will be very few and far between. So, anyway, let's go and move on to some feedback. Now, I've just lost complete access to my Google Mail account because I've got no wireless access out here, and I'm going to try and resolve that. I have actually got a wireless access point in the house that doubles as a range booster. So what I'll probably do is use that to boost the signal out to the garden for the next time I do an outside show. It's actually getting a bit dark out here at the moment, so hopefully the light won't go completely by the time I've finished. Yes, so from what I can actually recall, and if I have lost the content of your email, I do apologise, but I do have the details of who the emails were from. So let's just quickly go down the list. Thank you to Alan Popey from the UK, Ubuntu UK podcast, who said episode 20 was a good one, brought back some memories, thanks for the mention of the podcast too. Well, you're more than welcome, Alan. For those that don't know, I actually went to school with Alan for the last 2 years of secondary school, so we go back a way. MSN comment from Lance. I listened to podcast 20 today. You have a very strange taste in music. I recognise them, but that's different to liking them. So thank you for that. Is that everything from MSN? No, it's not. A couple from Darren from the Dumb Down Life podcast. Running even... Sorry, this is in response to another comment regarding episode 18. I downloaded the show around the time it was released, but I do listen to all my podcasts in order, and I'm about a month behind. So, and then he followed that one saying, in response to the debate that I started with the question, who should be responsible for our safety on the internet? And he responded with this: we should. Having a license to go on the internet, pa. Would lessons from last year on XP still be relevant now? How on earth would anybody keep up? Classes would be run for profit on how to pass the license test, and a few people would come out of it with any better understanding. Now, I consider myself to be quite tech savvy, but I would likely not have known about the DNS hack until it adversely affected my web browsing. In my experience, those people who are still not tech savvy enough to install and maintain their own firewall and virus checking systems are the kind that still write checks and don't trust internet shopping because it's, open quote, so dangerous, close quote. My machine has antivirus software, a firewall, and is behind a router that also runs a firewall. This said, if my daughter uses the machine for anything more than half an hour, it'll end up with all sorts of problems. Virus software almost always gives you a choice of what to do, which is good in some cases. My virus software keeps insisting that some of the remote control software and VPN software I have is dangerous. Without the choice, I'd be crippled or have to shut the virus software off when working. However, this choice can cause a couple of undesirable effects. Enough pop-ups and a less experienced, maybe less patient user would shut the software off. When pop-ups come up, it's possible that the user will click continue or ignore, and bang, the virus is in. One of the biggest problems on the internet is there's thousands of machines in the poorer countries which are still running ancient operating systems, which will likely never be up to date. These machines become drones to botnets. In the modern world, if a machine is taken over and starts flooding the internet with spam email, then your ISP will likely block your access until you, or a geeky friend or relative, fix the problem and get back to them. Lots of different thoughts here in a brain dump of an email. Hope it gives you something to talk about on your next show, which I'll be listening to about a month after you record it. Thank you very much, Darren. All very good, valid points. But thanks for taking the time to write all that down for our benefit. On another opinion on this one, I've had an email from Phil at work. Hi Dave, thanks for the holiday wishes, had a great time, and, as you know, asked a very special young lady a very special question. And he did say that I could trim this down a bit. I'm not sure if I'm going to, but we'll see. Now I'm back online, I thought I'd write in with some comments on episode 19, specifically the part of the show about internet security. Sorry, I said 18 earlier, didn't I? Since our lunchtime conversation, I've read a few more articles on the subject, including various posts on the ZoneLab forums. It appears that ZoneLab were aware of the security issue and that the problems were caused by the Microsoft patch, not by the fact the vulnerability was fixed. So either Microsoft did not test their patch with ZoneLab or did not make it available to ZoneLabs to test themselves. I thought your recounting of our conversation painted a slightly inaccurate picture of my views on the subject, making me sound more Microsoft-friendly than is the case. As a strong supporter of open source software, but also a Microsoft Windows developer by trade, I don't really subscribe to either the Microsoft is good or Microsoft is evil camp. Microsoft are what they are. Sometimes they do stuff I don't agree with, anti-competitive behaviour for example. Sometimes they produce bad software. Remember Windows ME? And quite rightly, could take a bit of a kicking for it. Other times, however, things go wrong and Microsoft get the blame without any justification, because it's cool to defend the little guy in the face of the evil Microsoft empire. That was in quotes, by the way. I felt that this was what happened with ZoneLab. A very important Windows patch caused problems with a piece of third-party software, and most people aimed their anger at the biggest target. Okay, so maybe more could have been done by Microsoft and or ZoneLabs, but should Microsoft really be expected to test all their patches against every available piece of Windows software? Fair play. In your hardware manufacturer, OS manufacturer, ISP debate, my vote goes to the ISPs. I'd like to see a system where everyone gets protection as standard, so all traffic is screened at the ISP before it's passed down to the client machine. This would enable much better economies of scale than any other solution. Coupled with this would be the ability to tell the ISP, I'm happy to do this myself, please switch off my protection, or sorry, and I'll get my own antivirus, anti-firewall, anti-spyware thing. Anti-firewall? Didn't mean that. Most people would be perfectly happy to let their ISP do the work, leaving those of us who know what they're doing to get one and do their own thing. The protection should be on by default, not by request. Otherwise, people who don't know how it exists... Otherwise, how do people who don't know it exists get it? And his third part was to my comment about having no podcast to listen to. And he suggests Digital Planet from the World Service, which is actually one of the ones I pruned off my list because I just wasn't listening to it. And the second one was the Friday Night Comedy podcast from Radio 4, which I do listen to and I find very funny. So, yes, thank you very much, Phil, for all of those comments. And again, as with Darren, thank you for taking the time to write this down for me and send it through. It's very much appreciated. Moving on to other comments, I've had both an email and a comment on my live journal from Mark Marshall. You remember in last week and the week before I played one or two of his tracks. His live journal comment, I'm loving your podcast, fidelity-wise, as well as content-wise. And also, from memory, by email, he said thank you and was honoured to become known as a friend of the show. But anyway, Mark, you're more than welcome. Just thank you for your input into the show and also for the fantastic tracks you're kicking out. So, yeah, thank you very much for that. Right, we have some more. I've had an email from Dominic, who's the webmaster of the Cantaloupe website. I played a Cantaloupe song called Brotherhood on episode 19. He sent an email through saying thank you very much for playing the show, for playing the song. I think that was it for feedback. I do apologise to anybody if I haven't read out an email or a comment that you've sent. Please, if I have forgotten you, drop me another email, and I will make sure you do get coverage. So, yeah, as always, thank you very much for everybody who's contributed to the show this week. All comments, all emails, as I said before, no matter what they are, whether they're positive, negative, or otherwise, are always very welcome, so please do continue sending them through. Okay, we're going to move on to our final song now. Yep, doing good on battery life, which is always good. I don't have power out in the garden yet, so... And I've noticed also we're doing good for time. I think I've actually managed to compress this into quite a good size show. Our final song for this evening. Oh, I have forgotten someone. I am bad. Had an email from Leonie, as always, and she sent an audio version through, which is this.
Hey ho, me back again. Great show last week. Old school. Love the Chad Jackson then. Love it now. I see you'll wash your face in my sink and raise you my definition of a bombastic jazz style. I have to admit to not being that impressed with the Japan, but each to his one. Own. Typo. In matters of the heart, some things are just not meant to be. You had your Claire, I had a guy called Tony. Unfortunately for me, Tony married a younger girl who I've known since primary school, and they now live on the next road. I moved on from him years ago, but it's just freaky seeing him around the place, especially now he has his own kid. But he was there during a maths lesson in 1991 in the lead up to our GCSEs when somebody suddenly sang out loud, "Some people call me Maurice." Anyway, I think that was your best show yet, and look forward to another 21 shows when we reach the meaning of life. All for now, your regular correspondent, Leonie, News at 10, West Suffolk.
Wow, thank you very much for that, Leonie. I seriously apologise for almost forgetting this this message. Yeah, it's an interesting one when you have memories of love's lost, and yeah, it does take you back to the, you know, what could have beens. But with all the things that have happened in the past in my life, I think certainly I'm always very grateful that the things did happen in the way they did, because if they didn't, you wouldn't be where you are now, and where I am now, I'm very happy. And yes, thank you also for the some people call me Maurice. That's very much how it happened with I wish I could remember her name. Was it Rebecca or Rachel? But yeah, anyway, thank you very much, Leonie, for that email. Right, we are going to move on to our final song now. Oh dear, it's got to be the worst planned show ever, and the light is fading very rapidly. This track is called Move On, and it's by Like So.
This heartbreak cracks my soul like jackhammer. There's nothing I can do but move on. Find someone new, but I really don't want to. I'd rather stay here. Hope you change your mind, but it's a waste of my time. I can't hold my breath, I'll pass out trying. My common sense tells me to let it go. Stop dreaming what was, who could be. If I dream hard enough, long enough, my voice is telling me it's old news. You've learned what you're supposed to, done what you're here to do. Stop trying to teach yourself old tricks. You know it's more painful that way. Move on, girl, move on, move on. No matter what you do, fatal attraction ain't cute. Move on, move on, move on. If a man runs to dust, I mean he's coming to you. Move on, move on, move on. If he changes his number, it ain't hide and seek. Move on, let him go, set him free, set yourself free. Nature of mine is biting me in my ass. I just keep trying to make it right, but it feels all wrong and it's a fight. I keep hanging on by my fingernails like a cat on current who's about to fall. Praying you'll be there to catch me. Move on, girl, move on, move on. No matter what you do, fatal attraction ain't cute. Move on. Doesn't mean he's coming to you. Move on, move on, move on. If he changes his number, it ain't hide and seek. Move on, let him go, set him free, set yourself free. But I tell myself you must be crazy for me. And I know that it's insanity, because you keep on running away from me. I can't keep going on like this, doing the same damn thing. It's costing me my happiness, it's costing me my peace. Oh, no matter what you do, fatal attraction ain't cute. Move on. If a man runs, it doesn't mean he's coming to you. His number and ain't hide and seek. Move on, let it go. Oh, no. Move on. No, it ain't no good for you. It ain't no good for you.
That was Like So and Move On. I have been joined in the garden by the good lady wife and hello, and Cara. They come out to see what I'm doing, but also to see how long I'm going to be, because I think Caroline wants some supper. What? There's a moth in the garden. Actually, I think there's probably a couple of hundred in the garden, to be honest with you. Okay, if you want to get in touch with the show, send comments, feedback, big ups, or whatever, or intros, then you can send a voicemail. This is where I'll start to get really put off. You can send a voicemail to 020-8099-1550. You can email through to bugcast@thelovebug.org. If you can't hear this, just go to the website, which is thebugcast.thelovebug.org, and pick up all the information from there. Oh. This is what you call putting me off by proxy. Darling, it is 10 o'clock at night. Come on. All that remains is to thank everybody for listening, and hope you have a good week, and with any luck, and if we're spared, I will speak to you all in a week's time. You take care. Bye-bye. Okay, yeah, so it's 10:45. I did forget something, so I want to try and quickly get this in now. I may have mentioned in previous episodes that I was looking at the possibility of doing a live episode broadcast of the Bugcast sometime in the future. Well, the guys at the Dumbed Down Life, who have had problems with their live streaming service, have managed to basically get their own server from which they can broadcast a live show at any time they want. And what they're currently doing at the moment is they're broadcasting all past episodes of the Dumbed Down Life in a loop on this this 24-hour server. And after they recorded their last show live, which was on Thursday, they said to me, basically, do you want, if you ever want to do a live Bugcast, then you can use our server for it. So, yeah, that was fantastic. So gave it a try, gave it a test, and it bloody works. So I will do a live show, and it will be in the next couple of weeks. Obviously need to work with the Dumbed Down Life guys to decide when the best time for them is. But at the same time, I also need to know from you guys when you would be more likely to listen to a live show if I was to broadcast live. So, yeah, drop me some feedback on that, and I'll now return you to your regular listening.